It's a story that I always heard. It's one that Dad always told me. I always remember him telling me the story before I went to bed or something like that, and it's meant a lot to me. And Abraham is one of my favorite Bible characters. But we'll begin reading in chapter 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would be with our service tonight, Lord. I just pray that you'd be with the message. Lord, I just pray that you would give me the right words to say. I don't take this lightly, handling your word, Lord, and what a powerful tool it is. I just pray that you would give me the right words to say. And I thank you for all you've done for us, Lord, in your name. Amen. I'm going to jump right into this evening, so hold on and hang on. In Genesis 22, God is making a request to Abraham. And the first thing I want you to see about this request, God's request was trying. Now, this whole story is about Abraham being told that I've given you a son, and now I want you to sacrifice your son to me. But God is making a request to Abraham, and the first thing I want you to see about the request is God's request was trying. In verse 1, again we read, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. I want you to notice, after these things, Abraham has experienced many things in his life, many trying things. We see that he experienced a great trial in Egypt, fearing that his wife would be taken from him by the Pharaoh. Another was when he was old and he still had not had the son that God had promised him. He went through hardship after hardship after hardship. Yet whatever God sent him, God sent that difficulty to prepare him for the climactic difficulty in the future, just like in many of our lives. Whatever you are going through, we all have our own problems. But whatever you're going through, whether you're a teen, adult, or grandparent, God sends trials to prepare you for that one climactic difficulty. Secondly, God's request was touching. I said earlier that Abraham had waited and waited for a son to be born to him. And finally, one day, Sarah came to him and said, We're going to have a boy. And after God giving Isaac to Abraham, just imagine in verse 2 when he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Just imagine you being Abraham, and then God comes and tells you, I want you to take your son. That's like thrusting a dagger into this man's heart. And then he turns it the other way and he says, Thine only son. And then he turns the dagger the other way and said, Whom thou lovest. It seems as though God was rending asunder the heart of this man of God. Folks, at times, God will touch the very dearest things in your life. And we as human beings, our natural response is to say, Why? In John 21:15, Christ is talking to Peter. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Again he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. He said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. I want to ask you, what if that happened to you? What if I came up to Brother Tom and said, Brother Tom, do you love the Lord? And we all know that Brother Tom, of course, say, yes, I love the Lord. And I came up to Brother Tom again, and I said, Brother Tom, I don't think you got the question. Do you love the Lord? And he would say, Michael, yes, I just got done telling you that. I love the Lord. And I come again to him. I'm like, Brother Tom, I don't think this is registering with you. Do you love the Lord? Brother Tom would no doubt be grieved. Yes, he loves the Lord. Folks, let me say this. If you love the Lord, whatever God sends in your life, it will be okay. If Jesus Christ is first in your, if Jesus Christ is first place in your life, we as children of God have nothing to worry about. Christ is all I need. And as the poet wrote, oh, what is Jesus Christ to me, my Lord God, Savior, Savior, Emmanuel He, my prophet, Savior, sacrifice, altar and lamb, judge, advocate, surety, witness, I am, my peace, my life, my truth, and my way, my leader, my teacher, my hope, and my stay, redeemer and ransom, atonement and friend. He's Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. This poet was just really saying in short and long the words of Colossians 3:11. But Christ is all and all. But we see that our last two points were God's request was trying and God's request was touching. But now let's look at Abraham's response to God. In verse 3 it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God hath told him. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Let me say this. His response was characterized by obedience. We see in his response, he rose up early in the morning. There was no doubt. There was no hesitation, and there was no skepticism. It was also characterized by faith in verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He didn't say, I will go and worship, we will go and worship, and only I will return. He was really saying, we will go, we will worship, and both me and my son will return. He was showing faith. An interesting thought is that Abraham was mentioned twice in the Bible other than in the Old Testament in regards to his faith. In Romans 4:20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Also in Hebrews 11:8-9. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. I want to give you a divine formula that I pray that you will embed in your hearts. Faith plus obedience equals usefulness. the man or the woman that will be used of God in this room tonight is going to be one that their life is characterized by obedience and faith to our God, as Abraham showed. It's not because of our talents. I remember whenever, 4 years ago coming this August, that I just remember that'll be 4 years that I surrendered to the mission field. That was there where, on a Friday night, a preacher was preaching on the heartbeat of missions. The Lord said, I want you to go. And I thought to myself, Lord, when I get up in front of people, all I do is stutter and stumble over my words and make a fool of myself. So there's no way that I can become a preacher. Folks, it's not because of your talents. It is because the response that God is looking for is the one that Abraham gave, one of faith and obedience. And third, we see God's redemption revealed to Abraham. In verse 11, back in Genesis 22, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. God's redemption was revealed to Abraham presently. Now, for most of us, when we read the Bible, sadly, we do not read the Bible with the emotions that are actually taking place behind it. This is a very touching event. Josephus, the historian, states that Abraham was probably 125 years of age, and then Isaac was probably 25 years of age, just a young man. We would not know the conversation because the Bible does not record it. But I can only hear Abraham saying to Isaac, Son, you know I love you, but this is what the Lord has commanded me to do. And we know that as Abraham, being a 125-year-old man, probably could not resist the strength of a 25-year-old man in his prime. And there was no recording of Isaac struggling to get on the altar, saying that as a young man with a godly father, who are we to refuse godly advice from our dads? The ear of a child is something great whenever he hears his father's voice. I remember when we were clearing brush at our old property in St. Patrick. Those were some very sad memories at some times, taking all those thorny locusts, but some of the best times I remember too. But I remember I was dragging a long brush, a big piece of brush. Dad may not remember this, but all of a sudden I hear him say, Michael, Michael! And I just stopped. Dad pointed right in front of me, and there was a snake, big snake. I don't think it was poisonous, but that thing could have hurt me as a little kid. But we just look as Abraham is stopped by his son. By Abraham, Abraham. Let me say this, God is never too late. He is always on time. This past semester, towards the end, as all college students do, the funds started running low. And I was getting ready for Sunday church one day, and I was reading my Bible and getting ready for church, and I just kind of wasn't really a prayer, but I just kind of thought, you know what, I kind of need some laundry money. The laundry bag's getting a little thick, and I'm running low on toothpaste and soap and everything. I kind of need some of that stuff. Well, I go ahead and go to church. The first lady I shake hands with, she hands me a $10 roll of quarters. I thought, well, this is great. Never registered to me. I walked in, I shook hands with a couple other people. Another lady comes up and hands me $10. we go through the morning service, go through the afternoon, we do visitation in the afternoon, and then we have Sunday night. Well, that Sunday night, as we were leaving, we went through the service on Sunday night. As we were leaving, one of the dear ladies in my church came and handed me a bag of stuff. She's like, "Here you go. I thought you might need some of this." I didn't look at it then. I got in the car and I drove home. I got into my dorm. I opened up the bag and there was some body wash. There was some toothpaste. There was another $10 roll of quarters. There were many other things that I kind of thought that I needed. And the thought came to me then, if God cares about the small needs, that much about the small needs of his children, then he can meet my big needs. Folks, whether you're a teenager or an adult or senior citizen, when trials come into your life, don't you dare push that panic button. We have a God in heaven who cares about the smallest needs of his children. So don't you dare think that he will ignore the big ones. And he is always on time. In Genesis 18:14, it says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" In Jeremiah 32:17, "There is nothing too hard for thee." In Luke 1:37, "Without God, nothing shall be impossible." Listen, folks, God will meet every need. In Psalms 37:25, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have seen the righteous forsaken. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." That says it all, folks. We see it presently, his redemption presently, but we also see it prophetically. In verse 14, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah," which means the Lord, "Jireh," which means will provide. And it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Folks, I don't know if you've ever looked at Mount Moriah on a map, but it happens to be on the same mountain range as Mount Calvary. And there on the same group of hills where this event took place, God provided the greatest need of mankind with his son. God was saying to Abraham, "Here on this mount, your son was spared. Here on this mount, my son will not be spared. Your son will be killed. I mean, my son will be killed. Yours will be saved. He will die. My son will die on the cross for the sins of the world. First John 2:2. We'll turn there for a sec. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." We often fail to see the emotion and seriousness behind verse 14. "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." I heard of a pastor in Michigan who he had five beautiful children. Three of them were coming home from school one day. He was in the church counseling with his wife, a young couple who was having some troubles, and his youngest two were in the prophet's chamber in the parsonage across the street. His youngest two saw the bus coming home with his three older kids, and they ran out to meet them. As they just opened the door, the youngest one broke away from the older one and ran into the street and got hit by a 17-year-old boy in a pickup truck. The pastor was alarmed by the screaming and the screech of tires and yelling. He ran out there and he heard the boy saying, "Whose son is this? Whose son is this?" As the pastor ran over to his son's mangled body, the pastor just looked down and said, "This is my son. This is my son." I say reverently, when Jesus died on the cross, God was saying, "This is my son. This is my son." And if anybody dies and goes to hell, they would have to bypass the great love that God has provided for them. Tell you what, in this mount, the Lord shall be seen. What a passage this is, because really, is every aspect of our life. And I pray today that you will see the significance of Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide in your life tonight. Dad, would you come and close us?